Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I was just thinking about my wife's love of Prince, and she was telling me the other day that the first time she ever made love was to a Prince song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's nice. What song?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Did she tell you what
song? I think it was Purple Rain.
Purple Rain.
And I just can't remember any more lyrics to that song.
Do you know my favourite Prince song is Seven? Have you heard Seven?
No.
All seven and we'll watch them fold. Mm. Stand in the way of love and we will smoke them with their... Oh, I don't know what that word is, but that's okay. It's a totally random Prince song.
He was so slick, man. He was so short, but he was so slick. And like in him, he was short. And there's some great Eddie Murphy. You ever watch Eddie Murphy talking about him? Or Charlie Murphy?
Yeah.
Talking about, oh my God.
Talking about Prince? No, I haven't.
Talking about Prince. Well, if you jump on and Google Eddie Murphy Prince... Or Charlie Murphy. Charlie Murphy was Eddie Murphy's brother. Charlie Murphy Prince. Absolutely hilarious conversations about
was
Prince.
It?
Yeah, gone and playing basketball and they're, you know, fully dressed in their purple get-ups and everything. Very, very good.
Dear.
Anyway, so, I was having a conversation a couple of months ago with Mike from The Office, and obviously
And we have Mike here with us today. Hello, Mike.
Hello, guys.
Good morning. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Michael.
Let's make it official. Good morning, Michael. And we were just, it was a Friday afternoon, and we'd had a huge week, and Mike jumped on the phone, and he said to me, he said, I just have to fucking rant. And I'm like, okay, all right, okay, so what do you want to rant about? I just get off the phone with this fucking client, you know, and it's like, I'm the simplest tweaks and they just don't see it and they fucking take it for granted and da-da-da-da-da. And so at the end, I'm like, so, and we were laughing about some of the things, some of the stuff that I suppose is common sense that we think that sometimes people miss when it comes to business, that it's like, this is just common sense. And how, you know, the simple tweaking of a person's concept of business can actually give them a business. But people get into business thinking they have a business when they haven't. They're just flying by the fucking seat of their pants. And just a simple series of tweaks turns things around. And we said at the end of it, we were laughing. And because I'd had a beer. And I know that you definitely had a beer. And we said, fuck, wouldn't it be, this would be great. This would make a really good podcast.
I think that's why we were thinking it would be a great one. Because when you think of the world of business, right, you think of these uber professional people with the really million-dollar words.
Yeah.
And they really make it all complex.
Yeah.
And business really can be quite a simple game.
Yeah.
And it's just like little simple things that kind of flow through.
Yeah.
And, you know, people just don't get it because they want to make it more complex. And, and look, I think the internet just makes everybody an expert as well. And I think one of our rants was that, you know, people, they want to follow the thing that looks complex because they don't want to believe it's easy.
It's a bit like, it's kind of a bit like, but it's also kind of a bit like, you know, people coming up to us and saying, you know, I'd really love to do what you do. And they don't realize that what you do is really difficult. Like it's got its payoff. But it's difficult. People think that business is going to give them all of these things and it's going to be easy. They don't realize that you got to put the hard yards in. You know, there's yards have to be put in. But the problem is if you where I think people get disheartened is they put the hard yards in doing the wrong thing and they end up with nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you're a stats person, so you fucking look at stats and come back and go, look, check these stats out.
Well, I was actually going to just say and suggest that the difference between you two in how you approach things, because you're very good at business, Mitch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're very, very good at business and you know what. But where Mike comes in that and his expertise, how I see it, is that he understands how to explain things so that other people understand what's actually going on. Like you will innately just know, you got to do this, this and this. You know, Mike, how to explain what's actually going on so that people can understand it. Do you know what I mean?
But do you know what a funny thing is?
Yeah.
Sometimes Mike has to explain things to me, and I think I don't fucking get what you just. I just don't get what you just said there, and I have to say, listen.
Is that because you're, you know, a little bit?
No, I think it's because I think it's to do with what we'll probably talk about in this, but it's blind sides, because I can go out and I can make it
exactly.
You know, I can go out and I know how to get blood out of a stone. I know how to do that. Do you know what I mean? And then Mike comes in with another side that I'm like, fuck, I don't. So when I hear that and I don't understand it, I know that I have the right person in place and I need to delegate that to them what you're saying is correct, but I don't fully understand it. So therefore, you need to run that side of the show.
And I think that's one thing that's made me unique my whole life is I am not that polished business guy. Yeah. I swear I'm like very blunt.
Yeah.
I can get quite impassionate in the way I speak, and I can be quite truthful in the way I'll point out things. Mm. But I also had like a background. I grew up on a dirt road named after my granddad, right? Yeah. I got into
Canada.
Business. In Canada, yeah.
Was that a good impression? I'm so bad at accents.
Which is why I enjoy my beers, eh? Yeah. But I grew up in kind of a small environment. And I got into business because I watched my dad fail. My dad was always starting like a home building business or a tax.
Right.
I just watched them do so badly that when they started offering business courses in my high school, I did all of them. And then I carried that on and just kind of got in. And I got really lucky. And in my first real management career, I met like a top Forbes 100 guy, Rael Bergevin. Right. He was number 39 on the list. And he became my first real business.
So 100 what?
Top 100 businessmen. Okay. You know how Forbes has the 100 whatever?
Right.
And he was number 30. So that one was the top 100 under 40. Under the age of 40.
Right.
Yeah, and he was 39 years of age, and he was 39th on the list.
Shit.
So he barely made the list, but at the same time was smack dab in the middle of it.
Right.
He was kind of my first mentor.
Right.
And then I kind of started to, that's when I really, he helped me discover personal development. And so that's when I really started going to all the business seminars I was looking for. And I never saw myself as an overly smart person, right? I was a country boy growing up on a dirt road. And so when people would tell me something, I remember being in the seminar once and they did this game where like, who's earned? And at the time I'd been doing pretty well. And they're like, who's earned more than $100,000? And we all put our hand up. And then he's like, well, who's earned over $500,000? And I still had my hand up, but most of the room put their hand down. And by the time he got to a million, there's only 5% of the room. So I'm looking around thinking, I'm doing pretty good. And at that point in time, they said, you know, now who's done 5 million? And I put my hand down because I hadn't made it there yet. And this guy beside me still got his hand up. And by the time they'd said $1 billion, the guy still had his fucking hand up.
Really?
And I'm looking at this guy, and the guy looks like a... And when I tell you who this guy is, you guys are going to laugh. But I'm looking at this guy, and he looks like the preacher at my church.
Right.
He is like, really? You know, suit with the like the fuzzy like label type thing, the over thing. And I'm looking at this guy. He's African-American. He's still got this thing. I'm thinking, who the fuck is this?
Right.
And so anyway, I'd always done the platinum section where you have your, you basically pay 10 grand more to have your own coffee service.
I think it's called the wanker section.
And so I'm sitting in there, and this guy's behind me at the coffee line the whole time. I'm thinking, you got to ask him. You got to ask him. So I turn around. I go, what do you do? And he goes, I come in as a marketing expert, and I turn around businesses. And I go, but what do you do? He goes, oh, well, you know, I break up revenue into three different areas and I look at the strategies. I'm like, but what do you do?
right?
And eventually he looks at me and you can see I'm genuinely interested. And there's this pause, this awkward pause where he's like, I'm fully expecting him to tell me fuck off and go away. And he's like, do you really want to know? I'm like, yeah, I want to know on Monday, what do you do so I can go do it?
Right.
And he broke down what he called his three pillar strategy, and he broke it into 62 steps for me.
Really?
Yeah. And the guy's name is Jay Abraham.
Shit.
And he was a speaker that was on the third day of the seminar I went to.
Right.
And he broke it down step by step, 62. And then once I went and kind of discovered him, because that's how I learned about him, I realized he put it all online. And so I was able to grab it, the slides, everything.
Right.
I learned it and I started using it and I started applying the stuff and it just kind of worked for me.
Well, after that conversation you had with Mitch in the car that day, the rant, we've decided that we're going to probably do this a little bit more often. We'll probably get down the track and be able to talk about some of that stuff, which would be good.
Mm.
But what I want to do today is I think we want to talk a little bit about what are the common blind sides that people have in their businesses. You know, what are their what are the sticking points, you know, and the types of people, like Mitch has just said, he's a particular type of person in this business and in all of the businesses, yeah. he's a particular type. I won't say anything because I'll let you do it. But let's talk about that because I want to dive deep to help people to
just,
understand
and just before just
bit.
Before you jump in there, Mike, I want to say that the mistake I made from the beginning of business, and I started my first business when I was 9 years old, is that I thought because I was able to say I had a business that I knew everything, right? Mm. And it was around about 24, 25 that I realized I didn't. There was a shit ton that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And but I was 9 when I started my first business. So I was, it was, Lord, you know, really, round. Yeah, it was, yeah. It was really 16 years before I realized, okay, you have to get that you haven't. And I think, you know, when we're in getting into what you're about to get into, I think the message I would like people to know are for, you know, for us to be able to talk about is that you have to get that you, just because you have a business, you have to get that you don't know. What is it you don't know?
Look, this is part of what gets me out of bed in the morning. Mm. This is part of why I'm so, I'm so inspired to help business owners is because everybody feels that way. Like everybody gets into business thinking they have to do it all. It's all got to be about them, you know, and most of us get in because there's something we really love doing that we just want to do for more people. That's why most business owners start. But, you know, you don't actually even have to figure out, oh, is this me or, you know, is it not? You just have to go follow the stats. You know, the stats say 97% of businesses in 10 years don't make it, right? So 3% are left. The stats say 68% of them never earn a dollar past their debt. Mm-hmm. So they've had a business for 10 years, but they haven't earned a dollar.
Right.
Right, because they spent more than they ever earned over that period. And, like, that kind of pisses me off when I think about it. Like, when you get into these people that really want to make a difference, and if you look at the quality of your life, everything we have that's available to us that makes our life so much better today, where'd it come from? Mm-hmm. Came from business owners. And if you look at the stats, it's
they don't get
ridiculous.
Rewarded. Yep.
And, like, there's so much out there for business people, but it doesn't actually help. And I think one of the core things you first have to learn, and anybody who's successful learns it, is you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
Right, and there's
100%.
There's at least three roles, and this is what you wanted me to cover.
Yeah.
Is there's at least three roles in a business, right? And I want you to, because I'm a sports guy, so a lot of what I get for
I
is
a sports guy. Mike.
You are not a sports guy. Yes. Tell me one sport that you know.
Trampolining
Mitch.
Is a sport.
And playing the triangle.
No,
I think that we're just going to have to deal with the sports analogies, Mike.
So I want to kind of explain the three roles in the business the way you would look at a sports team, like an AFL team, right? And so for a team to be really good, you've got to have the best talent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so every business has to have talent. It has to have people that are really good at what they do that adds value to the customer. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%.
Adds value to the customer.
Yes.
Right.
Adds value to the marketplace. Yep. So the customer, the ultimate customer. So you, the parts of your business that really do kind of connect to the customer has to be the best talent. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have a better product than anybody else. There's no way to outmarket an insufficient product. There's just no way. Mm-hmm. So the next thing you're going to want to have, though, is a good coach on a team, right? If you have all this talent doesn't necessarily see the game because they're very self-involved, right? They're kind of involved in their own little role. You're going to need something to manage all that. So every team has a great coach, or what we call in business, a manager. And then finally is you're not going to be able to maintain that team if you haven't got the right owner that's getting people into the stadium, right? And so you need a rainmaker. You need, and so every business, when you get into it, every business owner is one of those three. Mm-hmm. The majority is talent. So the stats say the majority of people that start businesses are talent.
Right.
Right. They got into it because they're very good at something that people desired. Mm-hmm. And you need the other two. In the beginning, you're trying to be all three. But when you get stressed out, you go to two. And each one of those has their own blind spot. Mm-hmm. Each one, like if I'm a talent, then I'm just natural creator. I'm always going to try and out-create the problem. If I'm a rainmaker, I'm a natural salesperson. I'm always going to try and outsell the problem. If I'm a manager, I don't necessarily see opportunity or risk. I'm just trying to manage the problem.
Right.
I'm trying to stick to what we know.
Yeah.
You can always pick the manager because they're the first one to say, we don't do it that way.
Okay.
That's not how you do it. And so what happens is you need all three to support each other. All three have to be the best you can find, but they all have their own limitations and blend spots.
And you can't be all three.
You cannot be all three. You're naturally one of them. You might have to start off that way, but you want to surround yourself with people to see it differently than you, to pick up. Because it's not necessarily the strengths. You can skill up to get over the strengths of each of those three. It's the blind spots of each of those three that burn you.
Explain
it's not the
that.
Money. Well, it's not the money you make that ultimately costs businesses. It's the financial decisions they make wrong that cost the business, right?
Right, so
it's,
yeah.
You know, if I'm a rainmaker, let's yeah. say, and I'll relate this to Mitch, because Mitch is a rainmaker. So one of the things that a rainmaker does is...
He's very proud of that title, by the way. You can see him puffing up his yeah. chest.
Mm-hmm. So a rainmaker yes, notices opportunity, and they're very quick to move from one opportunity to the next. So what they want to do is put things that work into people's hands that they know it solves a problem, and they like making that connection. Mm. But they're not necessarily going to follow through to make sure they work.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily going to be able to create the best thing, because they'll be thinking very much in a box. You have to be able to solve a problem. You got to be in a box. A talent necessary.
So just stop there, Mike. Yeah. So what would be the blind side then? The blind side is that they can't see out of the box.
The blind side is that they're not necessarily going to create the best product. They're just going to kind of get the mechanics of the problem, what it needs to look like, put out there. The other thing is they're risky. They're their nature, they're risky, right? So they're not necessarily – so they're the natural one where they'll make a dollar, but they might blow five in the process.
Right, yeah.
And that can be over time. That's one of the main reasons businesses go out of business.
Right.
Right.
Talent is they're constantly creating. So they're – once again, they're blowing up the cost, but from a different end. They're like – it's a product for everybody. Everything has to be individual.
Yeah.
And so they're broad thinkers usually. They're outside of the box. And because they're broad thinkers and because they're constantly thinking outside of the box, their creations often don't necessarily work.
Right.
Right, mm-hmm. because things don't mm-hmm. tie up. Things yeah. don't kind of pull together.
Yeah, yeah.
And the manager is the one that gets stuck in the box. So the manager is when you've got a great manager, their blind spot is they can't see the opportunity in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Right,
because they're just focusing on,
and they can only see risk.
Right,
and so in doing that, they're the ones that usually the problem they'll have is they'll overspend on their current product because they can't recognize that it's had a natural life cycle.
Cycle, yeah,
and everything has cycles to it.
Right. So, okay, so what do people then, if like, how do they know which one they are? I suppose people can naturally, by your explanation, can kind of know which one they are. Do you think that people need to go and find the other people that have those other talents in the business?
Well, we like what we do with our business, we give them a quiz that kind of points it out. But really, like, if you want,
well, you're talking about Evolve,
yeah. But what you want to do is, if you want something that's just going to get you on the dartboard, not necessarily pointed at for sure, but just get you the dartboard, think about what you tend to want to do when you get stressed.
Right.
So
when you're under pressure,
talent, right? So when I'm stressed out, when I'm not feeling, you know, great, or when I've had a bad day, the first thing I want to do is go do something for a client, right? I want to get to the client. I want to create something that solves.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a coach and a business coach for a long time. So the first thing I want to do is go, give me your problem and I'll solve it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's more, I want to create something. So that's where I go when I'm stressed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, Mitch, I'd have to imagine when you're stressed, your natural instinct is like, you know, where can I fill a hole? You know, what can I give you? What can I? And that's mm-hmm. going to be where, so that kind of points you in the right direction. So mm-hmm. it's really not how you are on your best day, because on our best day, we can kind of play all three roles.
Yeah.
It's where do you naturally go when you feel stressed? And boy, if you're in business, you're going to feel stressed.
Yeah. But so then people, like a lot of people, because there's so much around help for people to help businesses, right? But prior to meeting you, I hadn't really heard about the talent rainmaker and manager type scenario.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, how do you feel about the whole getting a business coach type thing to get help? I know how you feel about it, but I just want you to explain it to me.
And like, just I think it's important. I mean, it was important for me to understand that when I was looking for information on business and how to build businesses, and I had to humble myself and go, right, fuck it, I need to, there's certain things I'm not getting here. I have gaps, I have holes. And I was very tactical, you know. So I'm a fucking tactics man, and I wasn't a systems man. So I know how to be tactical. Okay, you know, go sell this, go get this, go buy that, go sell that. Go, you know, I know tactics. You know, make more calls. You know, speak to more people, and so one of the things I found though that it was very difficult to sift through the amount of information that was just regurgitated information that was just shite. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I looked at the coaches, you know, I never asked the big questions until later in my life. Like if a coach would ring me, the question I would be asking is, how much revenue did you turn over last year? When you ask a coach that, they're like, what the fuck? Because most of the time they're trying to teach what they most need to learn themselves.
It's also how'd they earn that revenue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, did they earn it just telling me that they could earn it?
Yeah. How long you been in business? How many cars have you got? How often do you travel? Where do you live? What do you, you know, that was really important for me to understand that stuff.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean that should define the coach, because it shouldn't. But they are questions that you got to watch the reaction of the person and know that the information they're giving you that they're practicing.
Yeah, and I want to kind of point out, I've been a business coach, so I'm not having to go at coaches here, right? But in business, they largely lack because of two things. One is there's three archetypes, and generally when you employ a coach, it's just you and the coach. Mm-hmm. So you're still missing a piece.
Yeah.
The other is how you employ the coach, right? So there's two things that they're going to help you with.
Mm.
One is you have a lack in your skill set, and one is you have a lack in your mindset, which is more your perception and what we talked about earlier.
Right.
So often when we go hire a coach is we look for somebody that's got the same perspective as us, but more skill.
Right.
But skill isn't necessarily the thing that you need,
mm-hmm.
right? Skill is just that it's what it's going to do is slightly help you magnify your strengths.
Right.
It's your perspectives that are going to protect you. So like think about business the same way you'd think about money. You know, you want the upside, but you want to protect the downside. It's because it's in your losses that kind of take you out of the game.
Mm.
Right. So like, yes, you can get a 30-50% chance at an increase on the stock market, but if you can't protect yourself from the losses to take that, you're going home broke.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the business. The perspectives is what protects you on your blind side. It's what protects the losses.
Right.
And so you want to look for somebody that they should kind of shit you off a little bit because they see things differently. They don't think your idea is the greatest idea.
Yeah.
They go, I see holes in it. You know, I would look at it this way, I'd look at it that way. And you need at least three of those. And I'm saying this, I was a business coach. I was a business coach for 15 years. And I could see that was what was happening. As I give them slightly more skill set, I get them to a level, I would execute. I would exit the business because I'd gotten them to my level, my limitation.
Yeah.
And I'd leave that business and I'd watch them go backwards. And often they didn't go back to where they were.
Yeah.
They went back to slightly less because in doing that, they had to trade off their confidence.
Mm.
And bringing me on, they had to say I wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hand the business back to that type of personality, that type of mindset, it goes backwards. It doesn't go forwards. Mm. And they've lost time. And if business and value in the world is just this raging river that we're all on and it's just constantly moving forward, you can never go back to where you were.
Yes. Yeah.
So you end up. So by going back to the destination, you end up actually way further behind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's often what I saw in business. That's why I, like personally, I don't think a business coach works.
So what's the solution?
You got to surround yourself with a group of mentors.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to learn, you've got to constantly be learning the path and you've got to have the right coach for the right time. You've got to get a group of mentors, a community around you.
A team.
Because that way you get the perspective. So I know with a lot of what we do, we've been doing it for years and years and years. It's all about the mindset. It's all about how you see your reality. You know, that's what relationships and you. That's what it's all about. It's like sort out what's going on and the perspective and the viewpoint with which you view the world. Basically, what you're saying is you've got to do the same thing, but with business. You can't keep looking at it through the same lens and expecting a different outcome. You have got to have different perspectives in order to help you to see
that. And you have a lot of control, and that's where, like, I love the work of MJB because that is the biggest piece. But at the end of the day, if you don't know anything about your financial reports and your cash flow, that's still a skill set that's going to hurt your business.
Right.
And it's not as big as the mindset. Like you can overcome that skill set problem by getting the right mindset and getting the right perspective.
Right. Yeah.
However, you know, it's a bit of both. And I'll get a bit ranty here. I do kind of lose my shit at the people that are just going to do the law of attraction. Hey, if I feel right about my business, it'll be fine.
Oh my God.
I'm like, no, you got to understand your fucking numbers.
Yeah. Cause I mean, we meet that all the time. I was just out with a guy yesterday and we're speaking with him at the moment and he's asked us to take him on. And in looking at that, speaking to that guy yesterday and, you know, and like he has no idea of his numbers. Like he has no, he doesn't know how to read a balance sheet. And the problem is that people are convinced they have businesses because they're able to get contracts and sell money and sell deals and they think they have a business, but they don't realize they're just, you know, you're sinking. Fuck, you're sinking. And when you don't know how to read that stuff and you don't understand that stuff, like you, and the problem is that people don't want to read that stuff because they don't want to feel the energy of, oh my God, you know, so they're prolonging the emotion of fuck, this is sinking, or oh my God, am I making money? Aren't I making money? And the truth about it is it's that energy of understanding that stuff that empowers you and gives you what you need to be able to be and say that you're a good business person, you know, because it's like when you try to avoid it, you're in trouble, you know? So it doesn't mean that that has to become your fucking way of life. You need to be able to master that stuff and delegate it on so you can get on with doing what you're best at, but never hand that stuff over to someone else. Like the amount of horror stories that I've heard of accountants coming in and just completely fucking a company because the person who owned the company handed all that stuff over to them and they didn't realize that, you know, the accountant was the wrong person to do that. You've
got to have some sort of understanding before you delegate anything.
Yeah, it's just a measurement at the end of the day. It's not the decisions of your business. Like, here's some crazy stats, like 50% of business owners even look at their financial reports. So that's like one out of two people don't even look at it. And then of that, 72% only look at the profit and loss and go right down to the bottom line,
right,
what we call the bottom line.
Oh yeah,
which in honesty is just a theory.
Yeah. We made money.
Well, yeah.
Well, where is the fucking money?
Like, and I learned that lesson the hard way. I remember the first time my profit said X and I went to the bank going, and they're like, but you have no cash. I'm like, but how is that possible?
Yeah.
I've got profits of X.
Yeah.
And it's like, the bank won't take your profits. Mm. They're just a theory. It's an important theory, but it's a theory. And then,
but another thing there is that, you know, people go to accountants and the accountants go, hey, you're doing really good because you made money.
Yeah, you made accountants profits. Just show the profit and
just
loss.
Just show the profit and loss.
That's all they show. You have to show them.
Yeah, you have to have your own business acumen that says, no, I need to know what this is. I need to know what that is, because you'll walk away feeling, fuck, but it's not in the bank.
There's 100%. If you're going to look at one number, there is one super important number in all of your financial reports, but the profit and loss isn't it.
No.
It really isn't. There is one number that you can look to, but even then you shouldn't look at just that.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is that people get scared of numbers.
Yeah.
You know, just like when you're in high school, like you didn't like math. So people they look at the numbers and they don't like it. And they don't know how to read it and they don't know what it means. So they just avoid it because it makes them feel stupid. And I'm telling you, this is one of those things where ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is fucking death. Like, it is not good. And you see a lot of people with really good businesses that just mismanage the business because they couldn't see what it was telling them. And it really is just a story. It just tells you a story about what you should do next, where you should focus. And then when you can get that literacy.
And the funny thing is, like, it's like I meet these guys and, you know, we see this. Yeah, you have to punch them in the face with it. You know what I mean? Like, you just do. Like, they think, yeah, and it's like you had one good sales month. And because you had one good sales month, you think you're a fucking business person. When you're not, you had one good sales month. That's it. Does that make sense? And you think because you sold a contract, you got $1 million, $2 million, $3 million contract, you got a contract. You think you've done really well. I was talking to a client, talking to her with me a couple of months ago, and she was like, yeah, so I'm gonna pull the team together and I'm gonna go after this grant. And I'm like, okay, how much is the grant? They're like, oh, I think it's like $600,000. And I'm like, but based on what you're telling me, it's gonna cost you $1 million to get the $600,000 fucking grant. People just chase the wrong thing without having their blind sides covered, having a proper plan, sticking to the plan, and making sure that they're foretelling the future. They're able to see, okay, if I do this, then I get this result, and it stacks. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I think that was really good. That was our first little rant on business. That was pretty good, right? So I want to have you back, Mike, because there's so many things that we opened the door to in that podcast that we didn't dive into. So things like mindset versus skill set, I think that's an important avenue to go down. I think you started talking, Mitch, about the whole tactics, and I know that you have an understanding about different businesses using tactical avenues to get ahead versus strategic avenues to get ahead, and I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah.
And also even talking about the numbers and what not to be afraid of, I think, going forward. So I think that was really good. That was a good start.
Yeah, I'd love to come back and we'll just use this as an avenue to reach even more people. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Thanks for having. Awesome. Thanks for having us. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.